Sunday. Sci-Fi sighted the microphone for the green light to the speed trap. Ray Garino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track. Barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motor Mouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Eat, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Even!
Good Sunday afternoon on Long Island to you all. You have tuned in to Motor Mouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, where we will discuss all of your car maladies and concerns, and some of our own, as a matter of fact, as we all are sequestered in our basements and dungeons across the tri-state area. Chris, we have Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, and Pirate Paul are in the house today. Gentlemen,
what's
good to see
up?
You.
Yep. Gotta do that.
We're surviving. Thanks again to Sean for putting us, getting us on the air today.
We
done it without him. It's great. Great to have that backup. So I can't give you a phone number to call right now because we have a little technical glitch with that, which we'll hopefully solve in a few minutes. Otherwise, you're going to just have to listen to us talk. But you can still follow us on social media at motormouthradio.com. We're also on Twitter and Facebook with the same name and on Instagram, real_motormouthradio, where we post some pictures. A few went up this week of stuff, work that went on at the shop. I've had to get out of the house and go down to the shop and do some work. Mm-hmm. So work on Mike's car, you know.
What are you doing with the Chevelle, right?
Yeah, the Chevelle came out of the paint booth, and now it's in the reassembly process.
So how is it assembling a vehicle that has just been freshly painted? Are you changing your technique at all from are you working with no pants on? What are
white,
you doing?
White gloves.
White gloves.
Yeah, you know.
No clipboard.
No pants on.
Yeah. Don't scratch anything.
Belt buckles, right. Well, unless you have a piercing, I guess. That could be a problem.
Yeah. Hey.
That could be an issue.
What are you trying to tell us, right?
Yeah, no, I said unless you have a piercing.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But no, actually, luckily for me, I've been working with Mike, and he's been doing a lot of the stuff outside the car. I've still been doing things under the dash. I've been doing a lot of wiring work and tracking things down. So I'm inside where it's still safe.
Oh, okay. Because I was gonna say, how are they dragging you out from? You're not the most limber guy I know. How are they dragging you out from under the dash?
Yeah, I was gonna ask that myself.
Well, and the good thing is though, at this point, there's no interior, so without the seats, you have the full car to flop around in. So that's how we do it. That's how
full car flop. Got it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like the old days, right? You can like kind of twist yourself between the seat and the dashboard, slide up under there, do what you need to do, and get right out.
Oh boy, what a pain in the neck.
That doesn't work anymore.
It's kind of funny, Paul, because I'm doing that with the Chrysler, and the Chrysler's big enough.
Yeah, that's a big car.
Yeah, so I'm still able to slide under there and pretty much get my feet in the air.
Right. But you have air conditioning in that car, right?
No, there isn't.
Oh, so you got a ton of room under that dash.
And
you haven't worked on a Mopar until you worked on one with air conditioning under the dash.
I hear you. And you know what? I actually made the thought in my head was to install air conditioning in the car. And as soon as I looked at a car with air conditioning and started to extract parts out of that, I was like, no way.
You can't get to anything.
Uh-uh.
Plastic ducts is all you see.
Yeah, it's the truth. It is the truth. You got to pull all that ductwork down. There was a car when I was out in Rhode Island pulling parts off a Chrysler 300 out there. It had air conditioning, and I'm like, oh, let me take a look at this and see if I could study it and see how easy this will be. And I'm like, am I crazy? This is impossible. I'm not going to put air conditioning in my car. Forget it.
Yeah, right. Now, what condition is this car in? I haven't seen any pictures of it.
Oh, my Chrysler. It's in. I would like to say it's in. okay condition. Okay. It's not something that was fresh out of the paint booth, by all means. I am not that clever. I'm not that nimble. There will always be, I'll always mess up something trying to fix something. So I'll scratch it, I'll dent it. It's always, here's what I did. This is why I never have perfect vehicles. I adjusted the passenger door on the car. The passenger door was sitting a little low in the back. And of course, as I'm adjusting it, I'm spinning the wrench to loosen the hinges. And of course, the wrench bump hits the edge of the paint and knocks a chunk off it.
Of course.
And now I'm like, of course, this is me. This is me. This is what I do.
Yeah.
So I went and got Crazy Glow because I don't have any touch up paint for it yet.
Right.
So I had Crazy Glow and I put a little dot of Crazy Glow right at the spot at the bare metal and took the chunk and went, put it right back on there.
It's funny you say that because I did that years ago. I'm talking probably 20 some odd years ago on my motorcycle. Yeah. I have custom paint job on the bike. I mean, it's a candy apple blue.
Right.
And I managed to, don't ask me how, I managed to bump the back edge of the rear fender, right on the edge of the fender, and a chunk of paint came off,
uh-huh.
And I was upset. So I ended up like Crazy Glue or something, and I glued that chip right back in. And to this day,
wow,
it's still there. I mean, I have to show it to you one day. It's still there, and I mean...
It's my life.
And it looks okay. It looks all right, so.
It looks all right. It's exactly it. I can walk around a car with touch-up paint all day long and fill in all the little dots and spots on my Explorer, which is a jet black vehicle. I go around and I find new chunks every so often. I'm like, where the heck did that come from?
Right.
Oh, it must have been when I was working on it.
Yeah. But they're still never going to look as good. I bet you gluing that chip back in, if you did it right, it probably looks better. Than the touch-up.
It does.
What color is the car?
It's green. It started out gold.
Okay.
The car has been, like I like to say, technically messed with.
Right.
Someone, whomever had the car, it was originally, from what I could figure, it's originally a Newport convertible. Mm-hmm. And it was built very early in the timeline. September 16th, 68 was its build day. So it's real early in the cycle. And... It's when I got it, it had the 300 bumper, 300 grille, the 300 rear bumper and taillights. Someone went and put the 300, the letters, the block letters on both sides of the quarter panels. They put them a little close, but they're there. And they were in the process of turning it into a 300. So now when I buy it, I'm looking, and mind you, it's got like 63,000 original miles on it. It runs really, really well. It's got no rust on it. But I'm looking at it and I'm saying, all right, what do? Do I spend money and bring it back to the Newport, or do I spend money and make it a 300? Because it's like caught in the middle.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I've been slowly turning it back into a 300 again.
Oh, it's a
fake 300, but a 300. But in the process of doing that, you gotta pull door panels off, and you have to. That car's been for sale for years. I've seen them. It was just brought up on our Zoom meeting, a shot of one. But
is that the green you have?
No, it's darker.
You have the in '69 they had a green called Forest Green. That was actually the color of my brother's Charger.
It's a nice green. Yeah, it's really not bad, but it needs to be sanded.
Mm-hmm.
The paint is like starting to check, so I need to sand it. And it was not really done very well. From 10 feet away, it looks great. So that's why. But that's a perfect car for me. It's not perfect. Because I'm going to mess with
it. That's good for all of us, yeah.
And I'm going to break it. I know I'm going to break it. And if I have something that's totally perfect, I will lose my mind. I admire those people at car shows that have the perfect paint, the perfect interior. God love them. I give them all the credit in the world, because I know there's going to be that time when I'm going to put a dink in it, you're taking care of the problem right now, Paul. You're making your garage space bigger. And that's something that I would love to do. I have two cars in a two-car garage, and you got to do the two-car shimmy. You got to go between the two cars. And, of course, you're going to have a wrench in your pocket. When you do it, you're going to have something – You know how many times I've gotten my phone case, my cell phone case that's on my belt? I've gotten that caught on side view mirrors, and now the phone's flying. You're going to try and catch the phone, and of course the wrench goes flying and it hits the fender. It's a daily occurrence when I'm in the garage.
Hey, Paul, keep an eye out on your phone for a code.
I got it.
Oh, good. So if you can hold up a sheet of paper or something so I can...
I don't know if you're going to be able to...
No, I can't see that.
No? Okay, I'll make it bigger. Hold on.
Actually, you could probably tell me the number. Who the hell else would know, right?
Phone call operation on the fly right here. This has got to be monumental on this radio program where we can actually do technical implements while we're on the air.
I'll tell you what. What'll help a lot is if you technically share the screen again so it gets bigger. So
yes,
I can see.
Yes. Unshare that screen.
Thank you. Let me see. Hang on. Just hold
on. As the codes get passed.
Yeah, the secret codes.
Okay, I got it. Thank you.
So we can activate the phones.
Right. Yeah. I got a fresh roll of duct tape for Ray.
Thank you.
Okay. I love this. This is what I love about this program. People are all around listening going, what is going on? Why are they doing this?
All right.
Raw radio.
Motor mouth raw radio.
There you go. That works.
But yeah, so that's the type of car it is, Paul. It's something that I can truly enjoy. And what's even more quirky about the car is whomever owned it before me recovered the seats. And you know Chrysler interiors. They rip the second you sit in them. So the seats were recovered.
Hey, wait a second.
I'm serious. I will every single Chrysler you'll ever see in this year range, the front seats are torn up. They look like cauliflower. Every one of them. Unless you spend hundreds of dollars to get them recovered, that's what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. So this whomever owned it before me decided to recover it, and they recovered it in this olive drab pleather. Straight out of a taxi cab. And it's kind of cool because, you know, my kid goes bouncing around on the seat, so I'm like, have at it.
Yeah, right.
So I'm not really concerned about the interior.
Do they sell a reproduction kit for that car? Interior kit?
Gosh, I don't know. I think they do.
There you go.
Okay. Of course it's
fellas, I think we can do this. So what we're gonna do is give out this phone number.
Okay.
And give it a try.
Somebody should be daring and try. Give us a call at, you're gonna call 516-256-9510.
516.
What a maroon. We'll take that out of post. In post edit, we'll lose that. Don't worry.
516.
You can't unhear it.
Yeah, but people don't remember.
I know. I'm
kidding. 516-256-9510 is the number to call.
9510. Write it down.
Get in on the fun.
And get in on the fun. Yeah. Who's screaming out there?
Test the motor mouths.
516-256-9501 is the phone number.
Write it down.
And there is a call coming through. Let's see if it gets to goes through the dischronificator.
Oh yes, where it's dischronificating right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had to do real fast. I had to do the spark plugs on the Explorer, so I had to pull the top of the motor off, which was a complete joy to do that.
Fun.
But we'll talk about more of that later. We have a call, don't we?
Yes, maybe. Go ahead. You've got Bill on the phone.
Yes, you take a breakfast order? Oh, I'm sorry. Billy G. I'm just...
Hey, Billy.
Billy Velvet!
How are we doing?
We are doing very well, sir. How are you? Are you staying safe?
Yeah, I'm good. You know, I was laughing when Chris was talking about the Chrysler. You know, I inherited from my mom a 1961 Plymouth Savoy back in the day. And I used it as a tow car. Yeah, it was the poor man's Fury, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Cool looking car.
It had three options. It had a rear speaker, it had a right side mirror, and it had backup lights.
Wow.
Anyway,
he was styling.
Yeah.
Bill, that was the 61. What hubcaps? Yeah.
Full-size hubcaps.
Full-size hubcaps, yeah.
Now, you had – that's the Buck Rogers car, right? It's got the pontoon taillights on the back of it, right? It's got the the what do they call it? The fish that ate Cincinnati grill.
You know that? You know, remember the old Car 54 series?
Sure.
Somebody, that was the year they made the 61.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No one else under the age of 50 will remember that, but we do.
Yeah. And but anyway, but talking about the interiors, he's absolutely right. I mean, that interior. I mean, my mom had a 57 Ford Fairlane two door was her first car, and then when she got a brand new 61 Plymouth. And we were five kids, you know, at the time. My brother was born in 61, my youngest brother. So back in the day, you know, no car seats and anything. But to have, when my mom driving, that interior, I think, lasted a month and a half. they were just that frayed. They were just that poorly. Yeah. And then the big thing to do was you went to Rayco.
Rayco?
Anybody?
What, Rayco?
Yeah.
Sunrise Highway.
Yes.
Yeah, we had one on Queens Boulevard in Elmhurst, you know.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm chuckling with thinking of that with Chris with the interior. He's absolutely right. Those things were like to shod, you know. They just
it's amazing. Yeah. It just every single one you see in that age group from like late 50s all the way up to maybe the mid 70s. I think Chrysler finally got the interior durability correct somewhere in the mid 70s. But in that span. Everything is a mess. The car looks fantastic in the ad. It looks beautiful. The outside, the finish, and everything. You look at the driver's seat, and it looks like you're sitting in like a garden, stuffing and pleather.
Mm-hmm. And then talking about the AC system, they had a sub company, Chrysler Corporation, called Air Temp.
Oh, yeah.
So the air conditioning systems were air temp systems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was almost like it was a factory recognized company, but the car was jobbed out to their subcontractor was air temp. And they also did commercial refrigeration.
Chrysler used Frigidaire, right? Is that right, Paul?
No. Chrysler used air temp.
GM, air temp.
GM was Frigidaire, I believe. Yeah. One of those companies was Frigidaire.
Okay.
Right.
Chrysler was air temp. Yeah.
Yeah.
They made home air conditioners too.
Well,
they
Bill,
did, exactly. Yeah.
I got to tell you, Bill, I'm kind of, it's nice to have you with us today because I know that right now at 12 o'clock, you could be watching Batman season 2, episode 3, Hot Off the Griddle, which is the one where things get hot for Batman when he pursues Catwoman. You know, that's on right now. And then, of course, at 12:30, if you want to kill the rest of the hour, you catch episode 4, The Cat and the Fiddle, where Batman catches Catwoman after escaping from her torture chamber. So,
nice. This is what I did. I'm in for my second cup of coffee. I said, let me put the show on. Let me put the radio show on. Let me just catch up in the house. So I'm going back out to the garage. I got the 74 in the garage. And talking about, I'm in a 20 by 10 garage. So moving around, doing things with the big Corvette doors, and you know, you're absolutely right. You go in with no belt buckles on. You go in with a long sweatshirt, and you get your hands are over your head, like you know, assume the position. Let me see you to walk around the car to work on anything.
I got a picture painted in my mind.
I don't even use fender tenders because the impression of the material stays on the fender. So I actually got blankets and sheets just not to nick or scratch. And it's like,
oh my God.
Forget it.
You know, it's funny, Bill, you mentioned fender tenders. I had one on the Chrysler once. I thought I was a real smart guy and I put it on the Chrysler and I had all my tools laid out on it. And of course I slid past it and took the whole thing with me.
There you go.
It sounded like, you know, if you dropped like a half a dozen dinner dishes,
yeah,
all the sockets are flying everywhere. I'm like, oh.
So, Bill, what else have you been doing to relieve the boredom of the lockdown, as it were? How are you passing the time?
Well, crazy as it sounds, you know, I'm in the essential industries business, you know, finance and banking. So I've been sneaking into Manhattan, you know, off hours and just getting things done that I can't do on the home computer. Because of the firewall situation with some of the things I have to do. But other than that, I've been purging. I've been things that I thought I needed to keep, I've been looking at saying, and then yesterday I was at the car magazine section. I had my 68, 69 Rodder and Superstock, High Performance Cars magazines. And I was starting to read, you know, the Marty Shore stuff and the Motion. I'm saying, now, do I pass this along? So anyway, I accumulated bins for the swap meet whenever the next swap meet is.
Right.
So I'm just like saying, this has to go. It's time to get move this. So I've been purging. I think we're all doing it, you know.
I'm showing these guys. I'm actually doing the same thing. I'm reading these magazines that are from 68 and 69, Carcraft, Cruisin', Cars Magazine.
Right.
And I'm reading like the new road test, the road test on the new Roadrunner that's coming out.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, I gotta get one of those.
you're absolutely right. Yep.
You gotta spend $3,700 to go buy a new Roadrunner.
And then you want it. Then you say, let me pass this along. Let me get rid of it. Then you say, you know what? These magazines width-wise are only four or five inches on the shelf.
Right.
You know, I might as well keep them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Bill, I've been trying to sell everything.
Phone number. Yeah. I don't want to take up the time for the rest of the listeners. So I was just trying out your phone number. Yes, it works.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, Bill. Sorry. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Paul. All right. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, that was Billy G on Motor Mouth Radio with Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, and Pirate Paul keeping down the battling down the hatches today.
Mm-hmm. And
I've been going through every box I've had in the garage. I'm going through it. I'm finding more old Seville parts that my dad collected.
Oh, good.
And I put a lot of them up for sale on eBay, and a lot of them are pretty much gone. It's kind of funny.
That's nice.
Because Paul, that's what I'm trying to do with the Chrysler. I don't want to spend any extra money on the car. Whatever I like to do, if I'm going to spend any money on the car, I would much rather sell some parts that I don't need and use that money on the car.
Well, that's what I do. That's how I fund my projects.
You know, Chris, I was telling Paul the other night, I had to buy a replacement fender for my Pontiac.
Yeah, what you're talking about.
And, you know, everything isn't always as it seems. I mean, the fender in the book, like you look at it, it's $499 and you say, wow, okay. You know, all right, what are you going to do? You can't go to the auto parts store and buy one, so you have to go to a specialty place.
Right.
But then there's a $150 shipping fee and a $20 boxing fee.
But now, Ray, can't you, like, reach out to, like, some of those junkyard salvage yards in Arizona and find a real
fender? I thought of that. I mean, I don't know what their price would have been, and there certainly would be shipping on that as well. And then it's obviously going to need body work and finishing because it's an old fender.
Well, here's the reason why I bring it up, because I actually put a new fender, a brand new box fender. It was on my buddy Andy and I did it on a 300 ZX, a Nissan ZX. And when I tell you, we had such a hard time fitting this new fender on the car. I don't know what it was, but it seemed right. But there was a lot of wrestling to almost stretch it onto the car.
Right.
And I'm thinking, will you have, or do you think you'll have, the same type of problem with a remanufactured fender?
The beauty is, I deal with a company called Ames for all my Pontiac stuff.
Sure.
And Ames has this nice little thing under every part. They tell you how it fits, like nice reproduction, looks great, but you have to do this, or fits right out of the, because they actually put these things on there on vehicles.
Okay.
You know, and the car's in the shop now. It's not like thinking about going in, it's there. So the body work is already being done in the car, and now things are going to get fast tracked. So if I got a rusty fender in from Arizona, or, you know, even just a weathered fender in from Arizona. Or
weathered. It won't be rusty. It'll be weathered.
Right. Oh, you know, I mean, they could have got a car from somewhere else, or whatever. It's going to require some work. This way, it's out of the box, ready to go, and it's going to still need some work, but it's going to be minimal. So,
okay.
And a decent condition, at least I know with Mopar stuff, a decent condition original fender is going to cost you more than a repop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how it is with Pontiac, but I know with Mopar, you find a good condition original fender, and they're asking at least as much as a reproduction, if not more.
Right. So let me say this. Unlike our remote producer, who luckily I'm not listening to him for the phone number, give us a call at 516-256-9510. That's the number to call to get a hold of us.
Yeah, what's that number?
That's that's the school's exchange. That's
right. 256-9510. Write it down. 256-9510. And remember that important area code.
Exactly. You got to do that too.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Because we don't have a studio number because we don't have a studio.
Right. We're in our studios right now.
This is the remote studio number.
The other thing I want to mention, and this goes for everybody out there that has a newer car. There's one of these little memes that went around that says, hey, it's great. Now my car is getting 3 weeks to the gallon of gas, you know, which is because no one's driving. Well, this is the thing with newer cars. Go out there and start that car once a week. It takes about a month, but these cars, when they sit, the battery could go dead if it's getting to be in that marginal range. And the reason is, The systems, the computers do start up throughout the day and the night. They just do systems checks. And it's only a few, it's a millivolt, in the millivolt range. It could be 30, 40, 50, up to 100 millivolts at a time. But over a month's time, if the battery is, say, at the point of its life where it may need to be changed, you may hit that threshold and you get a cold in the morning and the car may not start. So this is what happens with people who go to Florida. They leave cars and they don't start when they come back. Mm-hmm. Same thing happening. So just go out there once a week, start your car, or take it for a drive. Drive around the neighborhood and take a look at stuff. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm. No, I told my wife that. She thought I was crazy.
Oh, yeah. Well, because that's the default answer from you.
Yeah.
Well, there are the many reasons why she thinks you're crazy.
I know. Just add it to the list.
Right.
You know, I did that with the – I have that 93 LeBaron, and I always found those late 80s, maybe to early 2000s vehicles that are kind of like hybrid. They still have they are definitely computer driven, but they still have those links to the past as far as operation is concerned. So I got in the car recently and I noticed it was not driving the way it was, like it used to. It just seems like a little funny. And once I put it on the highway and I got on it, and it seems like I just blew all the junk out of it. That's the way it felt. All of a sudden, it lit up like a Christmas tree, and it was running really, really well. And I'm like, oh, I did an Italian tune-up, and I didn't even know it.
Exactly.
So it is true. Just get in there, fire them up every once in a while, and let them dry.
All right, so I tell you what. Instead of firing it up, we're going to turn the wick down on this soiree right now. We're going to take a break. We'll play a couple of spots, and we'll come back and do more of this on Motor Mouth Radio. Again, you'll get us at 516-256-9510. So if we're ready on the command center front, I will say that for Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, and Pirate Paul, we'll be back with more on 90.3 WHPC. This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities, an occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5. On Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Hey Siri, what is the square root of 64?
The answer is 8.
Hey Siri, how much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
Don't you have anything better to do?
Hey Siri, where did some of my favorite hip-hop producers and MCs alike originally get their samples from?
Ask DJ Solero on Lyrics to Go.
Hi, I'm DJ Solero. Join me for the music of yesteryear, the music that hip-hop producers have gone on to sample in later years, along with some of the best hip-hop music that the 80s, 90s, and the new millennium have produced.
I told you DJ Solero knew the answer. I also told you to take a shower, but that hasn't happened. So, no way of knowing if you will follow this advice either.
It's Lyrics to Go for a true musical inspiration, now at a brand new time. Listen Friday nights at midnight, right here on The Voice of Nassau Community College. 90.3
WHPC.
Hey, that was my line.
Sorry.
Coming up at 12 o'clock today, Sunday, Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D, talking about cars. And like I said, you don't have to know anything about cars to enjoy the show. People watch cooking shows, don't know how to cook. People watch those home repair shows, they don't know how to fix anything. So Motormouth Radio is the same thing. Think about it that way.
All right, we're back on Motormouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, and Pirate Paul today. We're talking about your automotive concerns and how to keep your car in good shape during this this pandemic. Give us a call, 516-256-9510, and get in on the fun because we are certainly having a lot of it today. You know, we're sharing a Motormouth Radio birthday today. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but just out there in the clouds, if you're out there, hold up your glass and say, happy birthday, because we're definitely celebrating today. So we've been... We're sworn to anonymity here, but that's not going to stop us from having a good time anyway. You know, I want to tell you guys about something. I got into, now that everything's being done remotely from home and all, I'm helping a couple guys out, a father-son team, on behest of our web guy. It's some guys in New Jersey, a father-son team that bought a 79 Camaro, and they just kind of got into a little bit of trouble with the carburetor and things, and they wanted some help, so... We've done a few Zoom meetings where I'm actually looking through their computer at this car and diagnosing it over a computer.
Wow.
And I tell you, it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. Paul, we got a call, I guess, right? All righty. We're going to go back to the phones, back to the fun, and we'll say hi, Ronald the Motormouths.
Hey, guys. It's Hey Macho Man Brian. What's going on?
Hey, Brian. How are you?
Hey. What's up, Brian?
We're hanging in and, you know, just going crazy like everybody else.
Yeah.
what are you doing, Brian? What's the minutia? What are you doing to pass the time automotively?
Actually, I'm working. So, I mean, I'm out and about and delivering parts and slinging some chrome. Still working and still delivering and taking care of the guy's needs. So,
yes.
I'm the lucky one.
Has it slowed down, Brian? Are people still buying tools? More importantly, are they still paying their bill?
Yeah, they're still paying. Unfortunately, it's about a quarter of the business. So that's how much it slowed down.
Got it.
So, but next week, I have the girls, they're tie-dyeing a whole bunch of t-shirts. I'm bringing tie-dye back, and the week after, I'll run something on the truck to, you know, get a tie-dyed t-shirt. I'll find something to sell along with that. So,
is that going to be like the Hershey
Kisses? Moving and,
is that going to be like the Hershey Kiss / Brownie tie-dye or what?
Yeah, you got it, man. We got baked goods, everything on the truck just to keep the guys coming out. So
send us some pictures of that stuff, Brian. We'd like to post that on our site.
Send us some baked goods.
Yeah, right.
Come on.
Hey, yeah, you know what?
Go on.
Let me just mention something just before I lose my train of thought. I want you to send me some pictures of that so we can post it, but also get on our YouTube channels. We're doing a YouTube thing. We have Motormouth Radio on YouTube, but there's also Motormouth videos on YouTube. And we're going to actually be merging the two. But there's all those promos that have been getting done, like the one, Brian, that was done for you a couple weeks ago about the brownies, is on there. Mm-hmm. And people should get on there, Motormouth videos, and subscribe and like it and give us a hand with that. So we'll
keep you on there. I'll have when the girls are doing the tie-dye, we'll actually have some live video or something maybe. Cool. But like I said, just trying to keep things moving and You know, it's definitely slow, so it's tough. It's not easy, but we're just doing what we're doing. So,
right.
Very cool.
No, but yeah, the big thing is if people are paying their bills, you know, that's the main.
Right. Yeah. People got
Yeah. Well, like I said, I don't know how else to really say it, but when you had a $50 guy, it's a $20 guy now. I mean, it's half or quarter of the money, but as long as we keep moving, just we're all in it together, like they say, and we just got to work together and get it over. And hopefully this won't be the new. I hope we get back to some kind of normalcy.
Yeah, exactly. It's
the new.
Yeah, the new new. I know.
But you know what? It's a perfect way of putting it. The new new.
I don't know how else to put it without being nice, I guess. I don't know. But but that's been going on. And like I said, following Ray's pictures of his car getting done, it's going to be kind of odd to see it with paint. I don't know. I was never a paint guy either, Ray.
No, so me neither.
I don't know how you're going to handle it.
I don't know either. I don't know. It's going to be kind of tough, but and I do have a really I'm thinking of a cool idea. I was telling Paul about it the other night. I won't get into it now, but I'm thinking of a really wild idea for a different pinstripe option for the car, and we'll see how it comes out. I don't know. It's just a little personalization thing, but we'll see if it works. Then I'm just going to put it in the garage, wrap it in bubble, and lock the door
and never use it.
Right, exactly, like everybody else.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I'll have to come by, Ray, and scratch it for you, so you don't have to worry about that.
scratch it or something. Yeah, you know.
Yeah,
something. Give it to one of your daughters and let them go out and scratch it, and that way you don't have to worry about it.
People have said this for years. Like, once you get the first scratch or the first dent, nah, it doesn't matter. I'm like, yeah, BS.
Baloney.
It doesn't. No. That's right. That's the only thing you see, you know?
Yeah.
It's that level of freak out. That's what that's what I'm waiting for with Ray. It's like, what level of complete meltdown will he experience when he sees that first scratch?
You know, I'll tell you, there's pictures. We're seeing some pictures now. There's my old Bondo that had to go throw in the garage. Bondo has a shelf life, I found out, even if it's not open. But, you know, my car's in the shop. I had to take the windows out. And I was even freaking out over the dust, the amount of dust it gets in a car in a body shop. Sure. And, you know, the car was pristine inside. But I'm looking at it yesterday and just sitting there just saying, you know what? So what? It'll get cleaned. It'll get vacuumed. Mm-hmm. It'll get cleaned. You know, what am I worrying about? You know, why worry about things you can't control, you know?
Exactly.
So, make sure you turn the blower motor on before you finish cleaning it.
Good point. Yeah, good point. That's a very good thing, yeah.
Right, because you can clean the whole thing and then turn the heater on.
Yeah. Ask me how I know that.
Yeah, exactly. Funny stuff.
Yeah, I just wanted to call in, say hey, let you guys know down here in the heart of Maryland, we're still alive and kicking, and I hope you guys are all safe and doing good, and I'll send you some photos, and you can post that stuff, and hopefully we can all sit around and have some crabs and beer one day, I guess.
I'm looking forward to that. Wow. That's good.
Sounds great.
Thanks, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care, Ray. Take care, guys.
Okay.
Be safe, Brian. Be safe.
Bye-bye. All
right. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, it's the same everywhere. Hey, I as well as looking through those old cars magazines and stuff, I found something in, you know, the Newsday sent out a paper today. They've been doing it once every a month or two. It's like an edition from the past. Today's edition was from 1981. And of course, you're looking back and there's all the old movie ads and the store ads, you know, Mays, Gimbels, Gertz, Newberry's, you know.
Gertz.
Howie, don't call the cell phone. Howie, call 516-256-9510. You keep calling the same number, which is the wrong number. Actually, that would be the right number. What am I saying? We may hear from the big man in a minute. We'll see.
Good.
But they posted this report on X car ratings. They said the bodywork quality of General Motors Corporation's highly touted X cars may not be as high as the company had claimed. according to a GM report. Oh. It was in the Detroit Free Auto Press. A routine GM quality inspection last month rated. All right, Howie, if Howie's on, yeah, he can come on with us. That's all right. It said that the X car's bodywork at came in at 38 on a scale of 0 to 145. And internally, the ranking provides an incentive for the plants to know how to improve, and they're going to work on it. We all know in retrospect, it was kind of a bad idea.
They didn't work on it very well.
No, they didn't.
But, I think we have a call. I think
anyway, yes, caller, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Hello, hello, Chris. Hello, Professor Ray. This is Howie.
It's the big man. What's up, Slim Jim? How are you?
Cuba Libre.
I'm doing fine, man. I'm working on the Black Beast, the Black Caddy.
That's
doing
what you call it, huh?
Steering wheel cover and a glove box replacement, man. You know, it looks pretty good. I'm looking at it now.
Oh yeah, so are we.
You're gonna replace your glove box? Is that what you said?
The glove box opener.
Oh, okay.
I guess that's that thing
where the hinges. It disintegrated, a while back, and I had some tape there, and I bought a black one and just had to take it a little apart. It wasn't that bad.
Where did you get it from, Howie? Where'd you get the parts from?
I got it on eBay.
Okay.
Where else?
Nice sale, Chris. That was good.
Yeah. It's like an exotic Cadillac plastic. Wow.
It failed. You know, I opened it up, man. It crumbled, man. So I got it in.
But what about the glove box store?
It's black.
We got Joe checking in, and Joe is shaking. He's doing one of these.
Is he rolling his eyes?
He's doing something like that, yeah. I really can't see what it is.
Yeah, he's rolling something.
rolling and smoking.
Well, thank you, Howie. Thank you for giving us this fine, upstanding bit of automotive repair.
Yeah. What year is that car, Howie?
It's a 1990 Cadillac Coupe de Ville.
Oh, okay. All right. Nice.
You know, so... I'll send you pictures, man. You know, send you pictures on my work.
Okay, very good. We'll do something with them.
We'll do something with
and
them.
And I picked up, you know, probably Christopher would like this. I picked up an original 1994 radio for my 94 Oldsmobile. It has Oldsmobile on it, to AC Delco AM FM. Cassette that I'm going to be putting in later today.
I bet Christopher would. We're going to have to tell about it too.
Exactly.
I'll give him a call later.
What a Christopher.
No, man, I just want to have radio instead of going down the street and kind of hitting the modern radio to have it work. I'm going to take it out and put back the original.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny you should mention that, Howie, because those GM cars, a lot of them, the radios are all the same, pretty much. And with a simple, sometimes you can plug them right in and they work just fine. Sometimes you need a simple adapter kit, which is being offered on eBay. I know I've done this. I had that 84 Corvette and I found, of all things, an Oldsmobile 98 Regency radio that had the EQ mixed into it, had the cassette. It was super duper high tech, nice looking radio, but I just needed that adapter. So I bought the radio, bought the adapter, and it all just plugged right in. Bump, 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 slid it right into the dash, put the dash panel back on. It was beautiful. It looked fantastic. It looked like it was part of the car. So, yeah, you're on the right track. That's a good idea.
Right.
Well, it gave me the person selling it, gave me the VIN number. So it's in the 90s. So I'm wondering with security that I might have to, when I put it in, it may ask me for VIN number, and I'll put in the VIN number, and then it'll start working.
Cool. Yeah. Very good. And you'll have a glove box handle that'll finally work.
They only last, man, 25 years, these glove box handles, the openers. They're made of plastic and a little metal. They only last 25 years, man.
You got to stop slamming it. Don't do that.
Easy, gentle touch. Well, keep it up, Howie, and keep us informed on the progress of that project because we always want to know what's going on.
Riveting.
All right. Thank you, Professor Ray. Everybody have a great day. It's a beautiful day out for a cruise.
Yep.
I may do that.
Okay, Howie.
All right. Enjoy the car.
All right. Bye.
Keep it clean.
All right. We'll see you later. Paul, the fenders on your car, I remember seeing them on like sawhorses for years.
There was one, yeah. That was the one. It was sitting in the corner. That was the one that was done. That's on the car. The other one's not done. It's actually over at my friend's house.
Oh, okay. Were you you just sent me some pictures. Were you sending those to Jim as well, or were you supposed?
No, I did not. I actually just shot them to you in a text. It was just easier. I was lazy. All right. You can do what you want with them.
Okay, I'll
all right.
Oh, good. Okay. It looks like we got another. I keep thinking like the phone calls are coming to the wrong place. No, the phone calls are still coming in. We got another one on the line, but we'll. We will go back to the phones, back to the fun, and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hello, guys. How you doing? It's Glenn from down in Tennessee.
Glenn, who's on the verge of overmodulation. What's
happening? Wow, you are flying in, Glenn.
What's going? You know, I'm really hurt because you're reading my magazines, aren't you?
That's right. You're exactly right. These are your magazines I'm reading.
And I was saying to myself the other day, man, if I had those magazines, I could be sitting out on the porch and reading my old car crafts and hot rods that I gave to Ray.
Yeah. Just to clarify, Kilowatt Kevin and I went over to Glenn's before he moved out of New York. We went to Brooklina. And we filled my Mazda with car magazines. I mean, literally, the car was dragging. And Kevin and I split them up. And, you know, I mean, there's a ton of Mopar stuff, but I'm getting to the good. I got to this cache of Cars magazines, and I found this Cruisin' magazine. I never even saw that one before. And so there's some real choice pieces in there that are makes for great bathroom material.
I was going to say, Glenn, did you have these magazines in the bathroom at all? Is Ray going to find, like, you know, little bits of hair in them or something? Like
that? I have.
I actually kept them all the years, and I had Trucking magazines and Street Rodder and all of that. I don't know if Ray got the Street Rodders and everything, but they were all in cardboard one-year boxes, and they were mint, most of them. And I said, man, one day somebody's going to want these. You know what? In this time and age that we're in, nobody wants magazines. We're forcing people to take them instead of throwing them away.
You didn't have to force us too hard.
No, you came right over. Now, what I need you to do is when you're done reading them, put them in the Mazda and drive them down here and bring them back.
Back to Tennessee. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah.
Now, I'm going to rub one in for Chris over here because Chris is talking about his garage and having to squeeze between the cars like Ray knows I used to do in Brooklyn.
Sure.
So now I have so much room that I have three separate garages. One of them isn't even on my main property. It's on my next property over, and I could fit eight cars I want in there.
It's on the back.
Oh, I'm so envious. So envious.
And then I'm running out to the third garage to play with the cars that are sitting there, detail them and do all the little stuff. I'm going, why am I leaving my Honda in the garage in the house? It's not going anyplace.
Right.
So yesterday morning, I moved it out there. I said, I'm not going anyplace. And I booked one of the cars in the house so I could play with it now and do all the little detail stuff that we never had time to do before, but we do now.
Sure.
Great. Great idea. But you know what? You said you can fit eight cars in one garage. I would own eight cars then.
He does.
That's how that works. Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I was kind of scared of that. That's why I didn't go any bigger than that, because if I keep going bigger, I mean, I have it's really a three-car detached garage that was already here. A two-car garage in the house that's climate control that I actually have fit three cars in when I stored them here. And the other one, I just walk around out there, and I only have to move right now one car to get any of the other cars out, which is way slower than I was before. And I would have cars double parked in Brooklyn to get one car out. It looked like, I guess, a Chinese fire drill. I don't know if we should say that now.
Hey, double parked in Brooklyn, really? Are you kidding me? I've never heard of such a thing.
Oh, yes, it's impossible, right?
Yeah. Plenty of parking spots there.
Glenn, I sympathize with you. Yeah.
Chris, I got to tell you, where you were is maybe you were northwest of Glenn by about maybe a mile and a half, 2 miles top. So you guys were in the same general area.
So sorry to hear that, Glenn.
They're causing fun. Was.
Right. But both of you have moved on, so that's a good thing.
Yes.
Yep.
No, because I only have to move one car in order to get one car out of the garage when I had to do exactly what you did. I had to move like three cars out, double park all of them, and or try and find a spot to, in order to get the, to get a car out of the garage. It was, after a while, I'd be like, nah, heck with it. I'm not going to take the car out of the garage. Or
That was it back then. You didn't want to use your cars. And then if you took them out early in the morning and you came home, you were stuck in traffic for 5 hours coming back from a half an hour drive.
You're right. You're absolutely right. You couldn't enjoy them anymore. When I grew up in Brooklyn, there were times you could enjoy your car. Sunday mornings, you can take them out, go up and down Ocean Parkway or something like that. It was a great drive. Now, no way. No way. Not even.
I pulled cars out and put them in the street. And then afterwards, when I came back with one of my classic cars, I go, where did I park my other cars?
Look, those are called space savers.
Wait a second. I put this one down that street. This one's all the way up this street at the corner.
You got to take a bus.
You see me walking around with keys in my hand. Like, what is this guy?
And you need a bus ride or a cab. You got to get an Uber to find where you left the other car.
Glenn, I bought a car to just leave in front of the house.
Yeah.
I swear to God. And it would move. We had alternate side. I'm sure you were a mile away from me at the time. You probably had it too. You had to take the car and move across the street.
Thank God we didn't have an alternate side of the street.
Oh, you did.
And my neighbor goes, we should have alternate side of the street parking so I can clean the street. I said, no, come out in front of your house with a broom. I don't need alternate side of the street.
Why would that be in Brooklyn? In the same borough, in the same area that one, you would have a christen and he wouldn't. What dictates that? I have no clue.
I have no clue. But where I grew up in Marine Park, there was no alternate side. There was in Bensonhurst where I was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's all because of whatever the local board is.
They vote on it, and I guess if they sit down at a board meeting and decide they want alternate side of the street, you get it.
Well, it's true.
They've wisely decided now to suspend it. And of course, there's nowhere to put anything.
It's true. But Glenn, I owned a Honda Accord or something like that for a couple of years, and I put 7 miles on because I was going across the street with it, and then coming back.
I know what you're talking about. We call that a hoopty. You keep some cheap car around with cheap insurance on it, so you don't have to take everything else out, and you can hold the spot someplace.
But the thing, the irony about that thing is all it does is keeps one of your cars in that spot. It doesn't, because it's like, you know, you're not using the spot anyway. Like, you wouldn't park in front of your house. You're going to park in your driveway. So it just keeps other people away from your. But like, Chris, in your case, people would infringe on the driveway. So
always.
And, you know, you had a tree. I mean, it's very tight. That is a problem, I guess.
Yeah. And Glenn, I had the dubious honor of owning a house with two driveways. I had a driveway on either side of it. And they were both, I used them both.
Yeah.
So anybody parked anything bigger than a Honda Accord there, you were going to get a quarter panel on one end or a front fender on the other end, and you wouldn't be able to get in that because there was always that clown that was on the other side of your driveway path that was backed up. And so you have maybe all of like 4 feet to get a Caddy DeVille through it, you're not going to do it. So
I looked at Google Earth of Glenn's house. It looked like Tent City, but with roofs. He built out everything. Oh, my God.
I call that the Branch Davidian compound, by the way.
Right. Pretty wild.
Now, I had people used to park across my driveway and just go because the shopping center was on the corner. So they would park their car. Well, that's good enough. I came out one day to go to work, and I can say this, I'm safe now. I can't get in trouble. I don't even live in New York anymore. Guy parks across my driveway. I come out in the morning to go to work. There's a car across my driveway. So I went out with my floor jack, and I jacked up. It was a front-wheel drive car. I jacked up the front of the car, and I turned it completely sideways, blocking the entire street.
Nice. Good for you.
And I dropped it on the ground. I put the floor jack away, and I went to work.
Nice.
I love it. Good for you. That's perfect. I wish I would have thought of that.
I can't do that kind of stuff down here because people are armed and dangerous.
Yeah, right. Right. And, you know, well, there's no need to. That's the thing. You know, you're in the...
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you guys are still doing the show. It's nice to have a little break during the week. I mean, I have found more projects. I mean, we're all doing it. I mean, I have cleaned every corner of every basement. Organize every can of WD-40 and brake clean. And I don't know. I don't know how much longer this is going to go on, but I'm going to have something accomplished at the end of this. whether it's on the cars, because I'm going over one car at a time and going, you know, I never fixed this, and you know that needs to be waxed. And
now, Glenn, you were saying you're having a virtual cars and coffee meeting, which is kind of different.
We've been doing it here. A couple of guys have been doing it, but it's the local cars. What I'm going to do is I'm going to reach out. I belong to a lot of these car groups, like Custom Kents of America and Traditional Hot Rods. And I've already started reaching out to them and said, is it okay if I post on there? Because we started Cars and Coffee here, and obviously we got one in, and then this all hit. And it's at a Harley-Davidson dealership, and they've been very socially responsible, and they closed the dealership down until this is safe. So what would have been the second one is going to be the first Saturday in May, and I'm going to reach out. And I encourage everybody, people who listen to your show, it's Cars, Coffee, and Cycles. It's got a Facebook page, and I'll announce it towards the end of the last week in May. And I'm going to do the whole weekend that I just encourage. And I don't, you know, guys are doing the local cars, but we have all the local cars. So I'd like to see people who are not going to have a chance to come to our Cars and Coffee, because some of these sites have people all around the world, you know, forget about around the country. And hopefully we'll get a full day of people just chiming in and posting their cars, and we're going to do a little virtual Cars and Coffee all weekend.
Glenn, do you belong to the ISCA?
I used to many years ago.
Okay. Now, I didn't know if you were still a member. Okay.
Yeah, you know, Groucho Marx said something once, and Ray knows what I'm talking about with this, is I would never join a club that would have me as a member.
Yeah, we feel the same way.
I'm not a club guy, you know what I mean? It just doesn't work. I don't know what it is. I mean, I try to just be one of the sheep, but I don't know, something gets me going, and I says, I don't need a club. I'm good.
Lone wolf, no club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lone wolf. Remember that? They still sell that little plate that hangs off the bumper and
right.
Shakes the ground.
That's right. That's right. All right, Glenn, we're going to have to run because we're getting to the end of our time here. So we thank you for the call and stay safe.
You guys too. Thanks. Thanks for being there for us at least one day a week.
All righty.
Thanks, Glenn.
It was Glenn from down in Tennessee. Yeah.
Very and cool. Hey, Chris, I just realized you put up the sheet.
Yeah. Yes.
Did I say holy sheet?
I was trying to work with backgrounds and none of them were. I was failing miserably, so I just left the sheet.
Okay, so you put the sheet up. Huh? There you go. It's an aerial shot.
Nice.
That's from standing up in the loft.
That is a nice picture.
It's pretty
sure
cool.
Sure is. There you go. Very cool. So you have the GTX. You leave the GTX outside.
Well, right now because I've got a scaffold in the garage trying to paint the ceiling. So as soon as that's all done, it goes right back in. It's all wrapped up, but good. As soon as it's done. It goes right back in, so I get to work on it.
Wow.
And then there's my little dog. You see, did you see that? You didn't see my graphic I put in the floor.
That's nice. That is nice on the floor. Yeah, it's going to be, you have to walk around it, though?
No.
I mean, I wouldn't want to walk on it.
You can. It's embedded in the clear.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So what happens? You have a graphic on your garage floor. Can you put like a jack stand on that or something like that?
You could. I don't want to, but you could.
It's a virtual dog, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Virtual dog.
Virtual doggy.
That's cool. Very good.
That's hysterical. Love it.
Right.
Yeah, of course, I should have moved it a little bit up because if I do eventually put something in that garage, like a lift or something, it's going to be right on it.
Right, right.
Of course, I picked the wrong spot. I should have moved it up about 3 feet.
Okay, guys, we're getting ready to count down. We're going to be getting out of here. So we thank you all for tuning in and spending part of your Sunday with us. We're going to go outside. I'm going to go outside and take a walk, I think, because it's nice. And
I got to go back and work on a sewer.
We were hoping to have Tom Cotter on today. It didn't work. Hopefully we'll get him next week.
And we'll speak good.
With Mr. Tom Cotter. What's our countdown, Sean? How many? We're wrapping. Okay, we're done. All right, you know what? That's it. We're going to go for Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, Paul. That's Paul. Yeah, Pirate Paul. Chris, what do we say?
Don't follow us home.
90.3 WHPC. See you next week.